Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
As you enjoy the quintessential summertime fruit watermelon, it's a great time to start planting a melon patch of your own for the next growing season. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, preparing a melon patch. My mouth is watering just at the thought of growing some watermelons.
Melons are a great part of the bounty of the Midwestern harvest. They grow all over the country. Melons like the musk melon, also known as the cantaloupe, pumpkins, watermelons, you all mentioned those. But gourds, squash, pumpkin, cucumbers, they're all in that same family, cucurbits, cucurbitaceae.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love that one. They all have one thing in common. They like warm soil, warm weather, and lots of water.
Ah.
There's some minor differences in the bedding or the seed bed preparation in that the watermelons like a really fast-draining soil, which is good and bad. So if you were going to have a melon patch, you wouldn't want to mix your melons up. You'd want some melons in one area and some in another. But you could grow them all in the same plot, just not in the same rows.
Okay.
Because the other melons, like the musk melon or the cantaloupe, the pumpkin, they're not as finicky about the well-drained soil. Actually, they're going to do good in soil that holds a little water because, you know, you just imagine this football-sized bounty, it's mostly water. So if you have a situation where it's a slope and it doesn't retain water, or it's a very clayey soil, that might be an indication that you need to do some work to kind of improve that. The seeds for these melons, they go directly into the field. Typically, they got some real ambitious gardeners that are going to raise them in the house, but that seedling, if you raised it in the house or a little greenhouse, it still can't go out in the field until after the frost hazard has passed.
And that's sometime in May around here.
That's right. And the pumpkins, they don't even plant those until early June. So you could use the pumpkin planting guidelines as your kind of alert. And most times melons are produced, there is what's called a plastic mulching is involved, and it's a plastic matting that covers the earth.
Oh.
So after you prepared the soil, so you're a first-time melon gardener, melon farmer, and you're going to cultivate the soil. You've probably had it tested, so you know what you need. You know you need that 6 to 6.8 for great melon production. And you're going to cover that soil with a mat because that black mat's going to absorb the heat of the sun and conduct it to the earth, and that warms the soil.
Okay, they like that warmth.
They like the warmth, but it's still a mulch, so it's covering the soil, so it's helping retain moisture.
All right.
Might even create a little moisture as things are breaking down, especially if you take into consideration the melons like a really productive fruit, a bountiful soil. So you're going to be looking at tilling in seasoned compost, well-rotted manure. You know, well-rotted means it's tempered a little bit.
And it stinks.
Flaming hot and less stinky. Yeah, that's right. Flaming hot is in nitrogen content being too high. And then you might also want to prepare to have what's called a floating cover, which is another piece of plastic, usually clear or white in color, that you can cover your young plants soon as they start growing. And this is a great way to avoid the use of pesticides to protect these melons from various beetles and insects that they attract.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week we are making a melon patch plan.
So, Laura, these melon patches, they take up a lot of room.
Yeah.
Not to saying you can't have them in your small garden, you just can't have as many plants, right? So there are some similarities in the spacing for the larger members of this family. The musk melon, pumpkin, and watermelon. You can have 4 to 5 plants per hill or 1 to 2 plants per row that are anywhere from 18 to 36 inches wide.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the space between the rows, you know, for the musk melons needs to be from 4 feet to 5 feet. And the watermelons, the row spaces are even wider. So
wow.
You're giving up a lot of space to have this much desired fruit. But you might have to curtail the amount that you plant if you're working with a small garden. There is lots and lots of tribal information about how to get these award-winning melons, right?
Yeah.
And one way that I've heard of repeatedly, so it's not like one person told me, I've heard this over and over again, and that is to dig holes near where you're going to be planting, particularly watermelon, because the holes are actually broken and disturbed soil, and they can allow water to percolate, but they also leave a loosened void of soil that makes the roots happy because they have less resistance and they can travel. So there are people that actually make these little soil wells in addition to amending the soil prior to covering it with the plastic mulch.
So what is the size of these holes?
Like a basketball-sized hole.
Really, that big?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if I'd be willing to do that. That's a lot of work, you know, and you might get a situation where the plot or the field doesn't drain well because it's got these holes in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing to aerate the soil by adding sand or coarse compost to it. Another, the back digging technique is good. It does loosen the soil, but you can also let in lots of air, which dries the soil pores out, and the soil pores are where the water is removed by the plant's roots.
You know, it sounds a lot trickier than I thought it would be to grow melons.
Yeah, they require some work, and you wouldn't want to grow them in the same spot year after year. You want to rotate them.
So what do they do to the soil? What do they pull out of it as they're growing?
Well, as you don't pull anything out of the soil until the plant is done producing, because they produce their bounty on a vinage, right? On a little stem with little curly petioles on it. And
okay.
So it's above, they're above ground, they're resting on the ground. Matter of fact, a great way to tell if the melon, watermelon, is ripe is that spot where it rests on the ground. It first starts out lime green in color.
Mm-hmm.
But after the melon is ripened and the maximum amount of sugars have went in there, which is great for the taste, right?
Yeah.
When it starts to turn a yellow or tan color, that melon's ready to get out of the field. And there's been lots of stories about people making these award-winning melons by setting them on a piece of carpet or a piece of cardboard to prevent them from having contact with the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any truth to that. I don't know that there's any scientific research suggesting that rotating melons makes them bigger.
Well, if I put it inside, if I try to grow it sort of like inside a like a square space, can I get a square watermelon?
I think that the way that's done is they put a jig on the watermelon when it's about the size of a softball.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it continue to grow, it pushes itself into this cubed form or jig or splint.
Uh-huh.
So, no, you can't do it that way. You got to make a little crib. You got to make a little crib for the watermelon. And then before dark, you have to go out and sing soft songs to it.
Oh,
to put it to rest with peace in its mind.
Oh, absolutely.
I know. That little trick they always leave out. But fertilizing and productive soils is critical to having a healthy patch, because you could have the limping along good enough soils, and then you've got kind of a weak plant, and that's what draws the insects to it in some cases.
Hmm.
A good way to avoid that is use either the compost tea, that's the water that drips out of your compost if you have the ability to collect it, or fish emulsion. That's what you would use to fertilize during.
Fish emulsion?
Fish emulsion.
Okay.
Similar to blood meal, but not to be confused with.
All righty.
Because you can mix this stuff with water and pour it around there. Tomato tone, bone meal, and Epsom salts are what you're going to use to amend your plot after you've already had some melons from it.
Okay, great. Now, of course, we're closing out summer, and we're thinking about fall because, you know, thanks so much for the melon patch. But next week, Murph, I want to hear about fall lawn opportunities. And if you've got a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. Go to our website, fill in the form there, and send it along to us. We would love to hear from you. That is at wglt.org/grow.